This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Time Sensitive, a film podcast exploring the best and worst under the radar movies released in the past 18 months. I'm Sam, and I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Ian.
Shalom! Hello and welcome to the show. Sam, we've made it.
Yes.
The final episode of season 4 of Time Sensitive, and it's a celebration of 42 episodes we produced this past
year.
Can you believe it? 42 episodes.
We're just churning out the content.
It keeps coming and keeps coming. We look down memory lane a bit this episode, and we announce the winners of the second annual Sensi Awards, selected by you, our Time Sensitive Sensitives. I think that's what
is
we're
that
gonna,
our fan.
That's
name?
Our club. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Like yeah, we got the Swifties and the Zaniacs, or I don't know what the other ones they got. The Beliebers.
Beliebers.
And we got the Sensitives.
God has a group too.
The Monsters, machines. Little Monsters. But we are the people who voted.
Yes.
Our fans.
Thank
the
you.
People who listen to the show regularly. Let me translate that.
If you are new to Time Sensitive, however, welcome. You picked a really weird place to start.
Yeah, just hang up and come back next
Very
season.
Strange, but we might have quite a few people joining us.
True.
Just to find out the results. But we love you anyway.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back.
Our show is unique. Sam and I like to review movies not immediately upon their release, like most podcasts do, but one last time, about a year or so later, before they disappear into the history books.
And we focus on those movies that might have fallen through the cracks. Not the major blockbusters or the billion-dollar grossers, but the quality cinema swimming just beneath the surface.
Live from the star-studded basement of Sam's house in Grand Rapids, Michigan, welcome to the second annual Sensi Awards!
Earlier this week, Ian and I nominated our favorite screenplays, directors, performances, and films from the last season and a half of Time Sensitive in five prestigious categories.
Gosh, it's so prestigious. So fucking prestigious.
We then put it on you, our listeners, and probably some bots from social media, not all bots, but some, to pick the winners and cement these films in Time Sensitive royalty.
We got hacked by Jamie Dornan stands.
So many stands.
So many stands.
So many stands. We had the best turnout we've ever had for anything we've ever put out there.
There were some serious voter irregularities that needed to be attended to. It was election week, so it was perfect. Everyone was going to the polls. Mm-hmm. You were able to vote on social media, which eventually one day we'll end up voting for president that way as well. But we don't have the best track record of our fans, our sensitives, voting or just participating in the show in general.
Right.
We have some great followers that contribute to the show.
Absolutely.
But it was awesome to see those votes flooding in over the last few days.
It was wild. My phone was blowing up. I had to set it aside the other night.
It was like we were famous for a hot second, but no, it was just the stands.
Just the stands. Not just Jamie Dornan stands, though.
No.
Jason Isaacs stands as well.
In case you didn't know, they have a large following.
A huge following, and it seemed to be a lot of Trekkies, Star Trek fans.
Which I wouldn't have expected that. I would have expected Harry Potter fans.
There were a few Harry Potter people.
Okay.
But the most of them that I saw, and I saw hashtag Team Basement. I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming it has something to do with his Star Trek show.
I don't want to know what that has to do with. Let's just move beyond that. But thank you to all who are voting or who voted and who listen to the show on a regular basis. Your vote counted three times.
And hopefully we have a lot of new listeners going forward. Go back and check out our Jason Isaacs Mass episode.
Yeah, we talk about Jason Isaacs a lot.
Our Jamie Dornan Barb and Star episode.
We promise it's worth your time, hence the name of the show. But we also have a few superlatives to mention along the way.
Yes.
And we're going to get to the awards. But, of course, we do this show to give you a laugh and to help you learn a thing or two. We say it almost every week on the show. But this past season and a half, we all learned a lot as we explored chamber pieces, the history of televangelism, Tommy Bahama, demon-possessed animatronics,
yep,
collegiate rowing, Tollywood, that was a fun one.
Oh, so good.
Midnight films, Viola Davis monologues, Danish drinking culture, truffle hunting, neo-westerns, Whitney Houston, of course, serial killers, road movies, the Disney Renaissance, Hollywood cliches, video nasties, sports films. And you remember when we had original Pringles with Maddie Blivis?
Oh, yeah, we did.
We even had food. And ultimately, we talked about the general fuckability of our friend Jim Cummings. It was a great season, and we're ready to celebrate even more.
We've tabulated all the votes across all the platforms, and we are here to open the proverbial envelopes. Now it's time to celebrate the best of the best.
Here we go. Let's start with talking about some films who received multiple nominations. I remember the nominations were made by Sam and I. We each picked three of our favorites in each of the five categories, and that gave you your six nominees in each category. But there were a few films that stood out among the others. Of course, those that were nominated multiple times over the five categories. The leading nominee walking into the end, or walking into our final day of this, was Mass, with six votes across the board, including four of those for performances, which
four
were
performances
expected.
Ian nominated them, nominated Mass for every category. Oh, no, you didn't do director.
I didn't do director.
Okay, but all the Mass nominations were coming from you.
And there's a reason, because I'm right. Promising a Woman came in second with four nominations overall. Our Tollywood favorite, RRR, which is still in the running for Best Picture at the Oscars came in third place with three. And then we had a collective tie for fourth with a few movies picking up a couple of nominations. That was Lorna Hathaway's The Novice, Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar, Shiva Baby, Last Night in Soho, Another Round, and Together Together. So remember, these films, in many cases, have not competed against each other before.
Ever.
Because they're across different...
Or ever will again.
Or ever only on Time Sensitive will these movies compete against each other. To have Barb and Star going up against RRR would never happen in any other place other than this particular show.
It should happen all the time.
It should happen more often. And we're going to explain to you why it should not happen more often with this following awards here. But Sam, why don't you kick us off with our first category, Best Screenplay.
Yes, Best Screenplay. The nominees were Mass, The Novice, Promising Young Woman, Shiva Baby, Together Together, and Uncle Frank.
Yes, remember, we're going back to our 100th episode for these nominees again. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just season four. We had about 20 episodes or so in season three that also were eligible. So that's why some of these go date back a little bit further if you don't recognize them from season four.
And then our third annual Sensi Awards will be just season five.
Correct.
So there won't be any of this confusion going forward.
No more challenges with this. The only reason is because we started the Sensi Awards for the first time last year.
Right.
Three and a half seasons into the show.
Exactly.
But we should have done it sooner, but now we're doing it. So those are your nominations for Best Screenplay. And Sam, who took home the gold in this category?
Yes, the winner of the Sensi Award for Best Screenplay is Mass with writer Fran Kranz.
Right, yes. This is good. I nominated this one.
You did.
Of course. I think the screenplay is incredible.
It's excellent. It's very good.
We all agree that it was a great screenplay.
Well written. Yes. Absolutely.
And well researched. Of course, if you need a reminder, Mass is the film written by Fran Kranz, who was the druggie in The Last Cabin on the Street? Or
Cabin in the Woods.
It was. Some horror movie from the 2000s, and he's now a bona fide writer-director, wrote this chamber piece, which really takes place in just one small room. Mm-hmm. It's the parents of a school shooter and the parents of one of their victims meeting in the same room together to talk about issues following the incident. Stars Ann Dowd, Martha Plimpton, Jason Isaacs, and Reed Birney in the four primary roles. Mm-hmm. And I just love everything that happens in this movie. I love the pacing of it, which I know is one thing that you challenged a little bit, Sam. It felt a little bit slow to you, and it felt like they were overacting. But I thought the exact opposite. I loved the performances. I loved the structure of the piece, and I loved how each character had a moment. That's one of the reasons why I love this story, because it's hard to write a movie like that for four people to just sit in a room and talk.
And to all have a standout performance moment.
Right. So that's one of the reasons I loved it. I just thought it was well structured, and as a person who has done a lot of reading and research on school shootings, particularly at the high school level, this hit home a little bit, and there were a lot of small little things that stood out as really creative storytelling techniques that I loved. If you remember the red ribbon or the yellow ribbon, and just the location of the movie itself was wonderful. So. Minus the creepy lady at the beginning of the movie as she set up the whole space for them. Don't forget her.
I can't think of her name, but she annoyed the shit out of me.
Right. Irrelevant.
We did, just to give you a reminder of what happened last year,
right,
in the first annual Sensi Awards, Midsommar took home the award for best screenplay.
Yeah, this was Ari Aster's major second film, mm-hmm, following Hereditary, which we've covered both now.
Yes.
Of his.
I feel like we're going to cover, whenever Ari Aster comes out with a movie, we're going to cover the next one.
We have a few favorites.
Yes,
we're going to keep coming back to, and he'll be one of them. But now let's move into the Best Director category.
Yes.
So our nominees were Thomas Vinterberg for Another Round, Michael Showalter for The Eyes of Tammy Faye, Edgar Wright for Last Night in Soho, Lauren Hadaway for The Novice, Emerald Fennell for Promising Young Woman, and S.S. Rajamouli for RRR, which is one of our most recent films that we've reviewed. Mm-hmm. And the votes are in, and with a considerable margin, we have S.S. Rajamouli winning for
RRR.
Yeah. Love this.
So exciting. That makes me very, very happy. He deserved it.
Hands down.
Hands down.
The wackiest thing ever.
The man created a wild movie that has so many different pieces to it and somehow is still cohesive.
That's the thing that blows my mind. It's long. It's the longest movie we have ever reviewed in time-sensitive history.
Yep.
Over 3 hours long. But it entertains you from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
The special effects work, as weird as they are.
Yep.
They work. And everything about his storyline that he creates, the actors, everything that's concocted is a testament to how great S.S. Rajamouli is. Mm-hmm. And as prolific as a director as he is, I think we compared him to the Russo brothers, equivalent to the United States version of Tollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So I also just love the fact that this episode got us to dive into a genre and a location of cinema that we never would have otherwise.
Right. And I couldn't be happier. If you haven't seen RRR, we can't recommend it highly enough.
No.
It's a blast.
It's in my top movies of 2022.
Oh, shit.
It's that good. And of course, last year, we had another win for Midsommar as Ari Aster took home the prize, the Sensi Award for Best Director last year. So,
brilliant movie.
Again, yeah, in good company. So I have to ask you, Sam, a quick question here. This is more of a question than a superlative, but
sure.
What movie surprised you the most about this last season and the end of season three? For me, it was RRR. I didn't expect it to be that wild and that entertaining and just that good of a movie. And you know, I mean, I expect it to be kind of nuts.
Sure.
But I didn't expect it to be that good of a movie. And it was. So that's what kind of my biggest surprise for the year. But anything that stood out to you, either good or bad?
Yeah, I think RRR is like at the top of that list. But I want to give another one here that I was genuinely surprised with, and mm-hmm, that's Shiva Baby.
Ah, yes.
I could not believe it's probably the shortest movie we've ever reviewed.
Yeah, I think it's 84 minutes or something.
Yeah, it's under 90 minutes, and it is so tightly written. That's why I nominated it for best screenplay.
Right.
The dialogue in that is so snappy. You're constantly moving. You're constantly feeling the pressure.
So claustrophobic, that movie.
Of that that small house. And I knew nothing going into that one.
No.
And it was a delight to watch.
Shout out to Emma Seligman, who wrote that.
Yes.
And directed it. What a wonderful first feature that was adapted from a short film that really surprised us all. And thanks to Maddie Blivis for sharing that review with us.
It was a blast.
Good time. Well, Sam, let's get into our performing categories now.
Yes.
Let's start with Best Actress.
Best Actress. Our nominees were Thomasin McKenzie for Last Night in Soho, Anne Dowd for Mass, Martha Plimpton for Mass, Rebecca Hall, The Night House, Carrie Mulligan, Promising Young Woman, and Rachel Sennett for Shiva Baby.
Yeah, and also her career has blown up since we first did that episode.
She is in Bodies, 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 which is one that maybe we'll see in season 5. Who knows?
You never know. We covered Pete Davidson before.
That's true.
It's a chance we could come back to him.
Yeah, I forgot he was in that movie. but let's get to our winner.
Yes.
The winner for the Sensi for Best Actress is Carrie Mulligan, Promising Young Woman.
Doing what the Academy Awards would not do.
Yes.
This is long overdue. And if we can give any consolation to Carrie Mulligan from Promising a Woman, it's the Sensi Award is the minimum that we could do for this performance. Just jaw-dropping.
Yes. And this feels like the reason that we went back to half of season 3 was to give Carrie Mulligan her due for this brilliant performance.
It wasn't the only reason, but I would say it contributed
to
the
big part of it, yeah.
Because remember, she lost to Frances McDormand at the Oscars that year for her performance
Shitting in a Bucket.
I mean,
That's what she
else?
Did.
What else did she do? No, of course, Frances was fine in Nomadland, but Carey Mulligan was just at a whole nother level. This role, the role of Cassandra, was just something so different than we had seen before. And how she masterfully weaves this performance in and out of other characters, including time-sensitive favorite Bo Burnham.
That's true,
just blew me away. And I will never forget her facial expressions. Mm-hmm. Even down, I think I commented when we did the episode, her walk felt so Cassandra to me. Mm-hmm. You know, because Carey Mulligan is, I don't want to call her middle-aged, because I think she's maybe 40.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Barely, if she is, she's barely 40. Barely 40, proper British woman. Married to a Mumford and Son. I don't know if she's married to the Mumford or to the Son.
Or to the Sons.
But you know, not someone I would expect to act in this type of role. She had done very reserved things before.
True, yeah.
We went through her filmography and it was nothing like this. Nothing
definitely
like this at all.
Out of typecast here.
Right. And just embodied that character.
So good.
But this was probably the most competitive category we had in terms of who I thought was worthy of this award.
I agree that this list of women is fantastic.
Right. It just, and they're all different genres. We have a couple of horror performances mm-hmm. in here, which I thought were both. We talked about Rebecca Hall. I'm curiously afraid of her. And
yeah, you did say that in our episode.
She makes The Night House.
Yeah. That movie wouldn't have been worth watching without her.
Specifically because she's the only person in 90% of the movie. Yeah. But still, to convince an audience for 90% of a movie on your mm-hmm. own is not an easy feat. And then I love that, of course, I'm going to personally say I loved Ann Dowd and Martha Plimpton both in Mass.
Yes.
And I would have tied it with both of them. This was a tough one for me to vote for.
Yeah, I struggled a little bit on this one too. I had, in the end, I had to go with Carey Mulligan.
Yeah.
But I was really tempted to vote for Rachel Sennett in this one.
Okay, I was going to ask you, because this was kind of a landslide. If Carey Mulligan was not included, who would you be? And you would go with Rachel Sennett?
I think Rachel Sennett I would go with.
And because just because she, again, carries the movie in a way?
Completely carries it and brings a performance of like just being near the edge without jumping over it for a full 84 minutes or however long it was.
That movie is so uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
But because of her performance in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's supposed to be like the audience connection,
right?
And we were just as uncomfortable as she was.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with you. That was a great follow-up performance to Carrie's. But Carrie now joins the ranks of Florence Pugh, who took home the third win for last year for Midsommar.
Yes,
for which I never would have expected her to be nominated, let alone win for that one. But I think about it now, and again, talking about someone who carried a movie, that's a tough movie to carry.
Yeah, it really is. And for her character to start so reserved.
Right.
And to kind of build on that throughout the entire movie. Midsommar clearly almost swept our senses last year. And deservedly so. I think a lot of people point to Hereditary of being Ari Aster's best so far. I think Midsommar, while not underrated in time-sensitive books, is underrated throughout the world.
And I think we've had this conversation before in the show. If it was a matchup between Florence Pugh in Midsommar and Toni Collette in Hereditary, who would we go for? And I've been watching, I don't know why it's been proliferating Twitter lately, is Toni Collette's main monologue from Hereditary.
I am
your mother scene.
Yes.
And it is just groundbreaking.
It's so good.
Oh my God. It just
that
hurts.
Face on
it
your
hurts
face.
To watch. Oh God. But we're talking about Carey Mulligan, who also gives a wonderful performance and should have been recognized more by the Academy, but we'll recognize her here as the winner of the second annual Sensi Award for Best Actress.
Okay. The award that apparently all of you have been waiting for. Ian, can you tell us about the Best Actor category?
Sure. Our nominees were Jamie Dornan for Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar, which I'm blaming Sam for this one.
We'll talk about it.
We then had Jason Isaacs for Mass. Jim Cummings, our great friend, for The Beta Test, the third film of his that we've covered on this show.
That's true.
Mads Mikkelsen for a Danish-speaking performance in Another Round, which is the Academy Award winner for Best International Feature.
Yes.
Ram Charan for RRR. And we rounded out with Reed Birney for Mass. So two performances for Mass and then our other contenders here. But this one blew the fuck up, Sam.
Yes.
What did you do and how did this happen?
I have no idea how this happened. When I put this on Instagram, I just hashtagged all the actors and actresses nominated.
As one does to get more interest.
To get more interest and get people jumping on board.
They jumped on board.
They really jumped on board and jumped then over to Twitter, because Instagram blew up first, then Twitter blew up. One of the wildest things that I've had happen on my phone in a long time. it was weird. I don't know what happened. I don't know why it happened. I'm thankful for it. I think it's super fun.
Yeah. I mean, you were laughing throughout the week, and I was just sitting here crying because I think Reed Birney gives one of the most subtle and underestimated performances.
And only one person voted for Reed Birney. And who was that one person?
Reed Birney got two votes. So I just want to point that out. I might have cast both of them. but again, we don't separate supporting and lead performances for the Sensies.
No.
So Jamie Dornan is clearly a supporting character.
The big time supporting character.
Right.
Yes.
So, supporting character there. Ram Charan, I guess, is kind of considered
He's
a supporting.
Like a co-lead, maybe?
Yeah,
I don't know
if I would put them together or what. And then, of course, Reed Birney is a supporting character as well, but we argued that on our Mass episode of where those might land. But it was overwhelmingly for Mr. Dornan.
It was astoundingly Jamie Dornan getting this one running away.
It felt almost like an Arizona Senate race, because in the early stages, Jason Isaacs was way ahead.
Yes.
And was like, oh, but this is bizarre. We were kind of like questioning.
Yeah, like where are these stands coming from?
And then he got outstanned by Jamie Dornan stands.
And I'll admit this. I put Jamie Dornan in there kind of as a joke.
Of course you did. And they called your bluff, Sam.
They absolutely did, which was crazy to me. But I'm happy that he won, and I'm happy he's getting recognized for a quality comedy performance from somebody that I didn't expect it from.
Right.
And that's really the main reason that I nominated him, because I was like, this performance is way better than anything I ever expected from Jamie Dornan.
Right. Against type.
Yeah, against type. He sings a banger of a song.
I was waiting for you to bring the song up.
But I can't say I'm glad he won, because I'm not.
Yeah.
But I think it's hilarious that everyone fought for him so valiantly.
Right. And these were incredible performances, by the way. So
yes.
If Jamie Dornan was out of the picture, which clearly should have been, who takes home this win?
My vote would have gone for Mads Mikkelsen in another round.
Okay.
That's who I ended up voting for. And I thought he was brilliant in that. A little subdued until the dancing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So good. And a surprisingly funny movie with a downer tone to it.
That was a very dark movie.
Yeah.
Especially knowing the context around how problematic alcoholism is in Denmark.
Right.
Audiences loved it. It won the Academy Award. I love doing that episode because we learned a lot.
And
about
we got
things.
A drink during that episode.
And we did drink. Forgot we drank during that episode. Mm-hmm. Even I had something to drink during that
you
episode.
You did.
I still don't want, I can't leave this conversation without talking about Jim Cummings for the Beta Test.
Yes.
This is the third movie of his that we've done. He starred in every single one of them, written or co-written each of them, and directed or co-directed each of them. We've become huge fans of him since the beginning of the show. Thunder Road was one of the first movies we ever did.
Oh, love it.
I still don't remember how we found it. I'm going to have to look back at that episode and find out what we said there.
Yeah, you must, I think you found a trailer at some point.
Right, something bizarre.
With him in his underwear.
Right, it was him in the scene as a cop, kind of freaking out. So we understand he dominates the freak out acting.
So good.
He does it great in Thunder Road. He's great in The Wolf of Snow Hollow. But I gave him this nomination because of one of the final scenes of the Beta Test. We loved the Beta Test. We thought it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it went a little bit beyond where we thought it would go, because it kind of got into the interworkings of the interweb and privacy and all
and
that.
And lost us a little bit.
Right. Lost us a little bit towards the end of the plot, but his performance in that final scene in the parking garage was incredible. Just incredible. If it was like segments, I would submit that for his clip.
Oh, it would be such a good clip, too.
Such a good clip. Because I just remember his facial expressions. He would go from one emotion to another instantaneously or during a piece of dialogue, which is one of the reasons why I love Frances McDormand's performance in Three Billboards Outside of Missouri. I remember I've said this before. It's that she tweaks her facial expression in while she's saying one word, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was genius. I don't know why he's not a bigger star. I still don't get it.
Well, it's not for a lack of trying on Time Sensitive's side.
And we're still campaigning to get him on this show
mm-hmm.
to talk to him. We haven't really campaigned at all. we're like a good candidate without any money. But we need to revive that, and hopefully he'll have a new. I haven't heard of anything coming down the pike that will be ready for season 5, mm-hmm. but definitely something that we would love to explore. Maybe because he doesn't have a new movie, he has time to talk to us.
Another creator that will watch anything that he makes.
Right. Yes, you're exactly right. Ari Aster and Jim Cummings. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Jim Cummings,
yes,
he's a former Sensi winner.
He is. Last year, we had a tie
right.
for our Best Actor category between Riz Ahmed for Sound of Metal
uh-huh.
and Jim Cummings for Thunder Road.
And collectively, they each had 7 votes, they each had 7 votes in that race.
Mm-hmm.
This year, Jamie Dornan won by how many, Sam? Here, how many votes did he get?
He received 136 votes and won by 100 votes.
I think that's more listeners than the Barb and Star episode we had.
Probably.
By the way, that episode is hilarious. Go listen to it. Again, Maddie Blivis must be a good luck charm this mm-hmm. year for Cincy Awards. She did that episode with us as well. Okay, so Sam, some other questions here before we get to our big award to close the show is, what was your least favorite movie we covered this season?
Oh, God. So would this be a movie that we gave the full time-sensitive treatment to?
Okay. Yes.
Then it would have to be The Unforgivable.
Really?
Starring Sandra Bullock.
Yep. Viola Davis in a very tiny role.
Yeah.
Vincent D'Onofrio. See, I liked this one. You didn't.
No, I could not stand The Unforgivable. And if you listen to our episode, I make it abundantly clear, as does my wife. It's just a frustrating movie for me to watch. I don't think the performances are all that good.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the decision making is strange.
So many subplots
for a 2-hour movie, maybe.
Right. Well, remember it was a mini series, and they tried to condense it into a feature film length.
And it definitely felt like it should have been a mini series because mm-hmm. you end up with two brothers that you forget are in the movie at some point in time.
That's right.
And one of the brothers cheats with the other, or one of the brothers' wives cheats uh-huh. with. The other brother.
Yeah. That was the biggest sin of that movie, was the ugly brother is the one that got the girl.
There were so many plot things that you're like whipping your head back and forth trying mm-hmm. to follow along with. And I think it probably could have worked better as a miniseries, but I wouldn't have watched it if it was.
Well, that was, if you remember, that was the movie we picked simply because we didn't get how it was both simultaneously one of the most watched movies on Netflix ever.
Yes.
And one that completely missed our radar.
That nobody had ever heard of.
Right.
And I'm sure us talking about it right now, you've never heard of that movie.
Even if you watched the episode,
yes.
you probably forgot about it.
Yeah.
Because I kind of did that I picked my least favorite 2 on movies that I had forgotten about.
Sure.
Just within the last year that we spent. Because we spend considerable time researching and preparing for each episode.
We do. We spend a lot of time.
We get pretty intimate with some of these movies mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, diving into the previous works of their filmmakers and their performers. But I just went with the one that I couldn't remember anything about, and I recall because I fell asleep for some of it.
Yes.
It was The French Dispatch.
Oh, yeah. I remember you talking about that.
I mean, this one is definitely handicapped because it's Wes Anderson, so to me it's already starting in the hole.
Yeah, you're not a Wes Anderson fan at all.
Right. And then it told 4 different stories, and I was like, I'm done.
And with little stories in between.
Yeah, not a fan.
Not your thing.
No.
That's fair. I completely understand.
I'm consistent, at least.
You are.
And I gave that one a try.
You did.
Yes.
But you also fell asleep.
Correct. But remember, I fell asleep during Last Night in Soho, at least for the intro of it, and I missed
That's
the whole
true.
Opening for it,
and
but I loved the ending.
I'm surprised that it didn't potentially make it to your least favorite. But yeah, I'm glad you at least gave it a try.
Yeah. We always are giving things a try here on the show that I don't think I would have watched. I think back to like seasons ago, and there's things I never would have watched mm-hmm. without your encouragement.
Right.
This season, never would have watched Censor without you encouraging that. Most of them fall into the Freaky Film Festival category.
Well, and then we have our forced to watch episodes.
Right.
We intentionally pick something that we think you might not like.
And I love those episodes. We forced you to watch Spy this season
yep.
from Melissa McCarthy. I had to watch Thor Ragnarok, which I ended up loving.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great surprise for me because that was Taika Waititi. It was a great movie. Great movie overall, that is a good reminder that we try things. We step outside of our own comfort zone, too, not to mention all the movies that we find that we love,
mm-hmm.
but some of them we just throw in there because we're like, we're curious.
Yeah, what is this one like?
Yeah. Well, success. Okay, so here's another question before we get to the final category. What was your favorite memory from season 4? We've done a lot.
Oh,
we've
gosh.
Worked with a lot of people. We've eaten things. We drank things.
I think going for the namesake movie of our friend Willy Mumper.
Ah.
And talking Willy's Wonderland.
Yes.
Nick Cage, where he doesn't say a word throughout the entire movie. And it's also kind of like a cleaning montage movie.
Yes.
That I genuinely loved. And it was so much fun to talk about.
We had a blast. My favorite thing about that episode was we played a game where we made up our own animatronic characters and what their secret weapons were that were cleaning products. And of course, Willie's one of our favorite people to have on the show. Mm-hmm. He adds a dry wit to everything we talk about. And it was a self-titled movie for him.
Yep.
And it was our second Nick Cage movie of the season, like four episodes in.
That is crazy. We did that very quickly. Back to back, we went very different tones, too,
right,
from Pig to Willy's Wonderland.
Right. Remember, Pig kicked off our season, season four, our first film of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Great intro episode. We learned a lot about truffle hunting.
Yep, and
which
pigs. Yep.
I have used that information from that movie in conversation.
What? Since. Why?
Yes. Well, it was a Jeopardy question that I was super proud of, that I knew the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was talking to me about truffles on a menu of something. I was like, they used to use pigs to cultivate truffles. Now they use dogs because pigs are too heavy and they crush them. Like, I felt so smart. Now, you might see some Nick Cage coming up in season five here. So
hopefully, yeah.
I mean, you should. It's time sensitive.
We are going to find Nick Cage and we're going to do Nick Cage movies.
He gives us six or seven options a year. So we usually are pretty well covered with content. My favorite memory from season four was our bodyguard episode, which we had so much fun just trashing.
It was a blast.
That was probably one of my biggest surprises, too. I expected the movie to be amazing, and it was trash.
It was so bad, but it was so fun.
And I remember at one point, we got caught up. I go back and listen to this segment of the episode because it makes me laugh. And I end up doing a Debbie Reynolds impression halfway through because she has this weird cameo in the movie that neither of us knew was coming.
Yep.
And it became the funniest point of the whole season for me. I loved it. Shout out to our Vault episodes that we did this season.
I'm reliving kind of that memory right now, and
it was a good
wonderful.
Time. It was a good time.
We have gotten to the end.
Dun, 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 dun.
Best Picture for the second annual Sensi Awards.
Yes.
The nominees were Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar, Flea, Mass, Promising Young Woman, RRR, and Together Together. And our winner, also by a landslide, is Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
I hate you so much, Sam. You did this to
us. This one I'm less upset with. I don't think it should have won, but it did. And it's basically because of the splashback of Jamie Dornan Stans. Who found that there was other categories that we had nominated people for.
If we had nominated Annie Mamulo or Kristen Wiig, I wonder if they would have won, or if this is strictly Jamie Dornan fandom.
I don't know. Maybe a little bit of both.
We should have nominated Andy Garcia for playing Tommy Bahama as best cameo, and he would have clearly... I mean, I would have voted for him, but...
Yeah, it would have been against Debbie Reynolds for best cameo. I think if I had my vote...
Yes.
And I did vote.
Yeah.
And I voted for RRR. Because the movie is wonderful and so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
My second choice would have been Flea.
Yes.
I think those two like stood up above the rest.
Flea, again, Oscar history maker, best documentary, best international feature, and best animated feature nominations.
Yes.
Crazy history maker. And we were so blessed to be able to cover that with your mom this past season, which was a wonderful episode, a very touching episode. Please go and listen to that one. I love that movie too. This was a tough category again for me
really
to pick.
Really tough, yeah.
This is our second comedy to win, by the way, because Booksmart won
the
inaugural Best Picture Award.
Oh, that's so funny.
I would not have voted for Barb and Star. I would not have even nominated Barb and Star. Even though it was fun.
Okay, yeah.
Excuse me, I mispronounced it. Barb and Star. This was a tough one for me because, again, I love Flea.
Mm-hmm.
I also think Promising Woman was my number one movie of 2021.
That's true.
I think was the year. I also just loved Mass. But I think I love Mass because it's a screenwriting and performing marvel.
Yeah.
Which is, I still nominated it for Best Picture overall. But the one that was secret here that I still think about now is Together Together.
Patty Harrison is so fucking good.
She just, and totally unexpected. We didn't know her from Adam.
No.
And she blew us away. Ed Helms was kind of there.
He was around.
He was there. He was the other half. But that movie was so well crafted and just written so charmingly. I remember just, Nicole Beckwith is the writer-director of that movie. And I just still think about Patty Harrison's dialogue opposite Ed Helms about loneliness. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just such a powerful movie at like a time in my life that it worked really well. It reminds me very much of the screenplay for Straight Up, which is a movie that you hated way back. I think that was season two.
Kate and I did not enjoy
that. Neither of you really liked it. But again, the screenplay just hit me at the moment of my life that we were in when we recorded it. And Together is not leaving me. So shout out to Jared Fries for doing a little bit of rom-com with us. And that's where we kind of first learned about the meet-cute a little bit more and how that works. Because we explored the meet-cute of surrogacy.
Yes, we did.
And we did. We had a great conversation about surrogacy in movies, too, which we didn't realize was a subgenre of movie. But we had a blast with it.
Which meant we got to talk about Baby Mama a little bit.
Of course. I mean, that was the whole reason. But again, Sam, I think RRR is a great nominee here. And what I would have expected to win had we not been infiltrated by the Russian bots of Jamie Dornan stands.
But regardless,
yes,
Barb and Star is our winner.
Barb and Star, congratulations. Two big wins for Barb and Star.
Yes.
Overall.
Didn't expect it. Two nominations, two trophies.
Right. So just let's recap our winners. Best screenplay went to Mass, Fran Kranz, writer-director for that. Best director, S.S. Rajamouli for RRR.
Yes.
Best actress, Carey Mulligan for Promising Young Woman. Mm-hmm. And Sam, our final two.
Jamie Dornan for Best Actor from Barb and Star, Go to Vista Del Mar. And Best Picture, Barb and Star, Go to Vista Del Mar.
I now know what it's like to be on a losing end of an election and want to change the votes.
Thank you to everyone who voted.
Yes.
Our listeners, the stands, the bots, all of you who reached out.
Every
so
vote
great.
Counts.
Every vote counts here at Time Sensitive. And we recounted and counted again just to make sure we had them right.
And we don't need to run off in December to get the answer.
And thank you for listening to our second annual Sensi Awards. We hope you become longtime listeners with us.
Become a time-sensitive stan. We need more of those.
Yes, we do. And a special thank you to all of our Season 3 and Season 4 guest hosts.
Kate Elburn.
Nate Clark.
Katie Fink.
Jared Felker.
Willie Mumper.
Mike Ingram.
Paul Willard.
Maddie Blivis,
Doug McNeil,
Kristen Heinrich,
Cole Verowick,
Sarah Craig,
Kathy Broker,
Pete Broker,
Kate Broker,
and Caleb Francis Jenkins.
What a fantastic season, Sam.
So good.
We're going to be taking a break,
yes,
as we usually do about this time of year.
That so doesn't mean we're stopping recording.
No.
We just won't get any in our feed for a little while.
We need a break from each other. We need a break from you, our listeners, because you give so much feedback to us. But no, we're going to relax. We're going to spend some time with family and friends over the holiday season. And we're going to watch more movies to bring you more of the best under-the-radar films in Season 5. God damn it. Can you believe Season 5?
Season 5.
Of Time Sensitive.
I'm so happy about
the little
that.
Show that could. And is still trying to get up that hill. But we will return with fresh, brand new episodes on January 27 of 2023.
Oh, my goodness.
In the meantime, though, you're not alone. We're not leaving you. You can find all of our reviews of this year's Sensi Award nominated and Sensi Award winning films, especially Barb and Star, Go to Vista Del Mar, as well as all of our entire time-sensitive catalog, which features tons of episodes about fun things that we learned over the last 4 years of doing this show. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you are currently listening to us.
And we want to hear from you. Share your reactions to the Sensi Awards with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Search Time Sensitive or follow us at TS Movie Pod. That's at TSMOVIEPOD. I'm sure everybody will be super excited about the Jamie Dornan graphic that will soon be there.
Our new profile picture is just Jamie Dornan shredding his
Should we become
Bahamish.
A Jamie Dornan podcast?
Every year we decide if we're going to change our subject matter.
Should it be Nick Cage, Dakota Johnson, and Jamie Dornan? Because I feel like if I plan this properly, next year I can win all the categories if I pick the right stan movies.
We've actually done a good job of picking great movies that happen to have really weird cult followings to them. I don't know how we do it, but you mentioned Dakota Johnson. She's our most profiled actor on the show in our history, and you might see her in season 5
very early,
believe it or not. But a quick favor, we ask you this at the end of every episode. If you enjoy Time Sensitive, you like Sam and I, you want your friends to hear about us, you want more people to discover our show, please leave us a quick rating review on iTunes. And it's a great way for us to spread the word and get over that 50 review hump that we've been at for a year and a half.
So all you Jamie Dornan stans that are obviously still listening at this point.
Religiously.
Religiously. Attack our reviews with the fury that you brought to our Twitter account.
Even if the comment is just Jamie Dornan wins, that's all we can.
Five stars, Jamie Dornan wins. That would be great.
And we've made history tonight. So, Sam, I think it's time that we sign off.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you again in 2023. I'm Sam.
And I'm Ian.
Take care, everybody.
Hi, I'm Mark, and I'm one of the hosts of Massive Late Fee. Do you remember Blockbuster? Well, we do, and we racked up a lot of late fees there. That's why we're glad there's things like Netflix, Hulu, and Blockbuster has died, mostly because of us. We cover streaming shows and pretty much whatever we want. Join us every Thursday as we talk TV and movies on Massive Late Fee. You can find us at Massive Late Fee on Twitter, Massive Late Fee on Facebook. You can email the show at MassiveLateFee@gmail.com, and you can find us at MySpace, Massive Late Fee. Massive Late Fee, the best podcast we can think of.